Senator Emil Jones III says when Rauner gathered members of the Black Caucus at a Chicago club, they tried to talk to him about the budget.
He knows what he's going to do, and he said he will let us know at the proper time what he wants to do.
So you tried. You said, hey, we want to know more.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I want to know, you know, you, as a politician, you want to know what the next man's plans are. And, you know, he wasn't ready to deliver that yet.
With growing concerns about Illinois' finances, there's a good chance these polite conversations might get a lot less friendly.
Amanda Vinicky reporting from Springfield.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Treasury bonds strengthened today as falling oil prices and stagnant U.S. wage inflation boosted the allure of highly liquid fixed income assets. Crude oil continued its months-long sell-off today, with the global benchmark falling to the lowest level since April of 2009. Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs today slashed its price forecasts for the coming 2 years for oil. It said the benchmark New York rate would average $50.40 a barrel this year, way down on its previous forecast of $83.75. It also cut its Brent forecast oil to $70 a barrel from $90. The Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development today says that economic growth is set to slow in a number of European economies, but pick up in Japan and India. The leading indicators point to slowdowns in Germany, Italy, Russia, and the UK, but hint at a stabilization in growth across the Eurozone as a whole. The OECD's composite leading indicator for the United States was unchanged at 100.4 for the sixth straight month. A reading above 100 indicates an economy will grow at its trend rate of growth, or the average over recent decades. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, trading 17,566, is down 83 points. The NASDAQ, 4,186, down 14. The S&P 500, 2,027, it's down 8 points. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
More surge of cold air will be pushing through the Midwest here today and tomorrow, and then we'll look for a warming trend to come around. This will bring some welcome relief after the last couple of weeks of chilly conditions occurring across the region. Most of the Midwest this morning is experiencing rather chilly conditions. We've had some wintry mix of precipitation types over the past 24 hours. It's rather slick out there in quite a few areas across the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest, resulting from the rain, freezing rain, sleet, and snow that did occur overnight. As we go through the day today, most of this precipitation that's still hanging on in Michigan, Indiana, and Ohio, and areas southward into Kentucky will likely come to an end. We do expect a little bit of precipitation to return to the region perhaps a little later this week as another disturbance starts to impact the region, but we're not going to expect another large storm system for the area for a while. The little frontal boundary that's going to be responsible for a little bit of light precipitation later this week will move across northern portions of the Midwest, impacting the Great Lakes region primarily, and this will occur as we go from Wednesday into Thursday of this week. It may be a little secondary frontal boundary will come across the very same path as we move from Saturday into Sunday. Again, precipitation across the majority of the Midwest will be insignificant, but there will be a few showers that will occur across the Great Lakes region. And our temperature bias, as I mentioned before, will be trending warmer, but we have to deal with a couple of additional cold days here today and tomorrow. Afternoon highs today will be in the positive and negative single digits in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt, while temperatures in the eastern areas and some of the far south will likely run in the 20s and perhaps even a few 30s. We'll look for temperatures tomorrow afternoon only in the teens and 20s throughout the Midwest. But as we move on into Wednesday, we'll start seeing a little bit more of a warm-up beginning to take shape, but it'll be Thursday, Friday, and Saturday before we really start to see a big difference. The temperatures at the end of this week going into the weekend will probably work their way into the 30s across northern portions of the Midwest, while southern areas will see some 40 and 50 degree highs, and our low temperatures at night will get far removed from these sub-zero readings we've seen recently. But tomorrow morning will still be very cold across the Midwest. We'll likely see a lot of negative single digits and perhaps some negative teens in the upper parts of the Midwest, while the lower and eastern portions of the region will see positive single digits and some teens. The low temperatures on Wednesday morning will again be positive and negative single digits across a big part of the central and northern parts of the Midwest, while the lower most areas will be mostly in the teens. But that'll be the last of the colder days. We'll look for readings the rest of this week, least low temperatures at night, running mostly teens and 20s across a big part of the Midwest. And it wouldn't surprise me to see some temperatures stay above freezing as we get out towards Sunday or Monday of next week in the lower parts of the Midwest only. Down in South America, a lot of chatter still out there in the marketplace about ongoing drying conditions occurring in parts of Brazil. Temperatures in the 90s occurred frequently over the weekend and even late last week, and that in conjunction with a restricted rainfall pattern continues to deplete soil moisture in quite a few areas. The northeast part of the country, though, is certainly experiencing the biggest problem with dryness, and this is not having a very big impact on corn and soybeans yet, but it is impacting coffee and sugarcane as well as a few other crops. In Argentina, rain has been widespread and rather heavy across the central and northern parts of the country, and another round of the same kind of conditions will occur later tonight into Wednesday before finally seeing a little bit of a drier tendency for a short period of time. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are trading on this USDA report day. Four big reports due out at 11 o'clock this morning, including the annual crop production survey report, a WASD report, a winter wheat seedings report, among those, and what may be the one has the biggest chance to move the marketplace, and that is the quarterly grain stock report. Well, here's how futures are trading. Hard red winter March wheat is 5.96 and three quarters, down 3 3/4. Soft March, 5.63 and a half, down a quarter. March corn, 3.96 and a half, down 3 3/4. May, 4.04 and a quarter, down 4. July, 4.10 and a half, down 4. December, 4.18, down 3 1/2. January soybeans, 10.45, down 6 1/2. March, 10.46, down 6 1/4. May, 10.51 and 3/4. Now a quarter, down 6 1/4. November at 10.13 and a half, down 6. March soybean meals, 3.47.30, down 1.80. March soybean oils, 33.57, down 11 cents. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of MITCO. He is in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I am doing well. Well, my observation is that in live trade, with so many reports out there all at once, and we didn't even talk about the January crop production report, which nobody's going to really look at, that you're going to get something violent because we just can't consume all that information quickly enough.
Yeah, I think we've had a tendency, at least since we moved this report data to the 11 o'clock time frame where the market is open, where, you know, there's just some trade happens right at 11 o'clock and then you ask questions later. And that's why we see a lot of volatility right when the numbers were released. Because like you said, you can't digest, especially on a January crop report, when there's so many numbers, so many moving parts on a day like today, it's hard for anybody to digest that amount of data that quickly. So I think there's a lot of just get in there and trade and ask the questions later and see how the numbers fall later.
So if you had your speculator hat, would you want to put on sell stops or buy stops?
Boy, I don't know. I think if I was I guess I'd wait and see what the numbers say at this point. The market's been trading in kind of a tight, broad range here recently, at least the last few sessions. So we're probably due to break out of that range here at some point. Maybe today's the report that does that. But I just don't know if we're going to see enough excitement today to get anything too interesting at the opening. But I think there will be some numbers to digest here and some stuff here as we move on. But, you know, right at 11 o'clock, I guess I'd take a break and see what the numbers say and let somebody else sort out those really quick trades right at 11 a.m.
So let me ask you this. At the end of the week, then, will we be higher or lower in corn or beans, do you think?
I just still feel like corn wants to kind of hang in here a little bit. Now, we did have a weekly reversal a week ago, and that kind of took a little bit of the wind out of the sails here for the technical crowd, and didn't really change that much here the last week. But I guess my opinion is still corn wants to kind of hang in there, and I think as long as the producer continues to be kind of an unwilling seller, the market's going to kind of hang in here for the short term, Dave.
And do soybeans want to hang in?
Yeah, it's still going to depend on what kind of forecast we want to see down in northern Brazil, if they have some better chances of rain here moving forward, which some of the trade is starting to hint at a little bit. I think beans will continue to struggle on any rallies, and I guess I'd see them kind of working lower. And remind me if I'm wrong after the numbers today, Dave, because that could change pretty much everything. Just as a reminder, though, Dave, the limit on corn, 25 cents, beans, 70 cents, and wheat, 35 cents. We'll see if those are tested today or not.
All right, then. Thank you, Aaron.
Okay, have a good day, Dave.
Aaron Curtis of MITCO, and he is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. March corn, 395 and three quarters, down 4.5. December, 417, down 4.5. March soybeans, 1044.5, down 7.75. November, 1012.75, down 6.75. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WIOL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It is now 9:01 Central Time.